One. Judges chapter 1, we want to read one verse here and then look at another passage. Judges chapter 1, we want to read verse 23. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Let's read verse 23. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. Now look back at Genesis chapter 28, if you will. Genesis chapter 28. And we want to read verse 19. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Let's stop reading there and let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together on Wednesday night when we can come together and study your word for a few moments. And we pray that you would teach us from your word tonight and show us things that will be a blessing to us, that will be a conviction to us, that will help us in our walk with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a few minutes, we want to come back to these verses, Judges and Genesis, and consider some things that we didn't have time to get to Sunday night as we were thinking about the children of Joseph going up against Bethel. In that message, we looked at these two cities, Bethel and Luz. And I think I mentioned to you Sunday night that the correct pronunciation, as best I can tell, for Luz is Luz. But we're going to use the southern pronunciation and try to not have but one syllable there. So we're going to call it Luz. But we saw in this verse that we read tonight, Genesis 28:19, that Jacob, in the place where the Lord met him, where he met the Lord, Jacob called the name of that place Bethel. And then we read these words in verse 19, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And we talked about the meaning of the names of these two places. The name Bethel means house of God. The name Luz means almond tree. And the name Luz also means perverse. And though we focus primarily on the second meaning of this word, Luz, Sunday night, the two meanings are not unrelated. We talked about how the word perverse means willfully determined to go against what is right. The word perverse describes someone who is persistent in what is wrong, someone who turns away from and rejects what is right. The word perverse describes someone who is wicked and rebellious and self-willed. Luz is a description of someone who is hard, just exactly like the shell that covers the seed of the almond tree. And so what we saw is that Luz is a picture of you and me by nature. It's our name, as we see here in Genesis 28:19, at the first. From the first moment that we're born into this world, our name is Luz. And so we saw that what we are looking at here is a place with two names. One name is Bethel, the house of God. The other name is Luz. And the contrast between them could not be more stark. Here's a place that means house of God and at the same time means perverse. At the same time means wicked and depraved and disobedient and rebellious and self-willed. What we're looking at in these two names are the two natures of the believer. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have in us this old nature that we were born with. And its name is lust. It's a nature that is as hard as the shell of an almond. It's a nature that is willfully determined in every way to go against what's right. It's a nature that is persistent in what is wrong. It's a nature that turns away from what is right. It's a nature that is enmity against God. A nature that fears not God. A nature that is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. This whole nature is perfectly described by the name Luz. This is the name of the city of our life at the first. And as we saw Sunday night from the life of Jacob, Luz is where the Lord appears to us. He appears to us and deals with us and reproves and convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment as we are and where we are. And that's Luz at the first. But there in Luz, when we come to the Lord Jesus, when we come to Him as we are at the first, in all of our sin and all of our rebellion, and we cry to Him, He saves us. And then at that moment, He gives us a new name. And that new name is Bethel, the house of God. Because when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, this body of flesh becomes His house. The house of God. That's why Paul would write in Colossians 1:27 and tell us about the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why he would write in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." So when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get a new name, Bethel, the house of God. And we're a new creature in Christ. And this is so beautifully illustrated to us in the language of these two verses that we read tonight. Judges chapter 1 and verse 23 and Genesis chapter 28 and verse 19. In Christ, our name is no longer Luz as it was at the first. Now in Christ, we can say the name of the city before was Luz. That's an Old Testament message about our standing in Christ. And it's how God sees us. He doesn't see us as we were at the first. He sees us as we are in Christ. The name of the city before was Luz. We've been made the righteousness of God in Him. That's our standing in Christ. But our state here in the world is just like this place that we are reading about that has two names. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are a person with two names. We still have the name Luz because we still have this old, nut-hard, stubborn nature. But now we have a new name, Bethel. The house of God, because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. And this is where the battle begins. We're looking at a scene of battle in Judges chapter 1. And this is where it starts. That's what we want to talk about tonight. The battle between Bethel and Luz. And we want to look at the first place that I believe we see this battle between these two places, between Luz and Bethel. And so I'd like for you to turn back a few more pages to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. This is a portion of Scripture, a chapter of Scripture that we have visited many, many times, so I think that we can summarize it rather quickly. Just to say that in this chapter, after years of disobedience, After years of failing to come to the place that the Lord wanted him, Abram comes to the land of Canaan. We see in the last part of verse 5 in chapter 12, "And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." And what we want to see is that this is where the battle begins in Abram's life. Because the greatest threat to Satan, the thing that he hates, the thing that he fears most, is a believer who is obedient to the Word of God and who is living in the will of God. That's the battleground. And notice where the battle began in Abram's life. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel." Notice that word, please. "And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." Here in this 8th verse, we have the first mention of Bethel in the Bible. But the thought that I would like to suggest to you is that this is also the first mention of Luz in the Bible. And I believe we can say that on the authority of Genesis 28 and verse 19. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And this is at the first. This is the first mention of Bethel in the Bible. This is where Abram comes. And this is where he builds an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, someone might ask the question, why is the name Luz not used here? The answer to that question, I believe, is very critical. The reason that Luz is not mentioned here is because there is an altar here. There's an altar here. An altar is a place of death. And I believe the message here, the reason this place is not called Luz here, is that Luz has been put to death. And when Luz is put to death, then all that is seen is Bethel. Here's an Old Testament demonstration of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Where are sacrifices offered? They're offered on the altar. "And Abram builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." Abram is presenting his body a living sacrifice. That's the picture here. And when we do that, when we bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, then the life also of Jesus, Bethel, Christ in you, the hope of glory, will be made manifest in our body. And when that happens in Abram's life, when it happens in your life, when it happens in my life, the only thing that will be seen in our life is Bethel, the house of God. Not Luz. Luz is put to death. But this is where the battle begins. "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other." And we see that here. This is the battle that is raging here. It's not so openly seen. Just as the battle that rages in believers every day is not so openly seen. But here in verse 9, we see the effects of the battle. And Abraham loses the battle. Because he leaves the altar. And when that happens, we no longer read about Bethel. Look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going still toward the south. By the way, south is the direction away from God. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Now again, we don't see the word Luz, but we don't have to see it. Luz, this old nature that is willfully determined to leave the altar, to leave the place of surrender, to leave the place of sacrifice, to leave what is right, to do what is, to just persist in what is wrong. This nature that turns away from and rejects what is right, the place where the old nature is going to find what is wrong and wicked and corrupt and depraved, and have all of the fleshly appetites. The place where all of these fleshly appetites can be satisfied is Egypt, the world. And that's where Abram goes. And what we see in Abram in Egypt is the manifestation of Luz. Luz is on the throne. Disobedience, rebellion, self-will. Luz is alive and well. And when Luz increases, Bethel decreases. Now, notice what happens. You remember, Abram goes down into Egypt. He tells Sarah to lie, to say that she's his sister. And Sarah's taken by Pharaoh into his house. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house because of Sarah. And Pharaoh calls Abram in, and he says, "What have you done? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" And Pharaoh sends him away. And Abram leaves. Notice what happens in chapter 13 when Abram is exposed in Egypt. Here's what it means for a believer to get back into fellowship with the Lord. Look at chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south. Now notice where Abram went back to. Even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram gets back in fellowship with the Lord when he goes back to Bethel, when he goes back to the altar. And what we see is that Luz is put to death. Now, here's another little side thing we learned here. Dealing with Luz is not a once and for all thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was? Wouldn't it be wonderful if one time you could die to self and that would be it? But we learn here, it's not like that. It has to be done daily. Paul says, "I die daily." And so Abram, he dies. There's the altar. No mention of Luz, just Bethel in chapter 12. He goes down into Egypt in chapter The last part of chapter 12, chapter 13, he's back to the place of death to self. Which one of these places is evident in our lives tonight? Where are we living? If we were honest, where would we describe as the place that we're living? Bethel or Luz? Now turn over to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Because we want to see these two cities. It's what we've called these two messages, a tale of two cities. We want to see these two cities here. Genesis chapter 35. As we come to this chapter, Jacob has been dwelling in Shalem, a city of Shechem. And what took place in Jacob's life there and the life of his family was a disaster. Jacob's daughter Dinah had gotten involved to her defilement with the prince of that country. And a marriage was proposed by Hamor, the father of Shechem, the prince. And it was a marriage proposal, not just between Shechem and Dinah, but a marriage between all the children of Jacob and all the people of the land there in Canaan. This was the exact, precise marriage and union that Abram did not want for Isaac. It's the reason that he called for his elder servant one day and charged him not to take a wife for Isaac of the daughters of the Canaanites. And this was the same charge that was given by Isaac to Jacob. And yet here is Jacob among the Canaanites, his daughter defiled by the prince of the land, and a proposal that his family marry into the Canaanite families of the land and be joined with them. And you remember what happened. Jacob's sons answered this proposal of Hamor and his son Shechem. They answered this proposal of intermarriage. They answered this proposal of compromise. They answered it deceitfully. They told the men of the city that we're willing to do this, but you're going to have to be circumcised. And then if you are willing to be circumcised, then Dinah can marry Shechem and we'll enter into marriages with you and your daughters and our men, and we'll become one people. And so Hamor goes to the gate of the city and there's a little congressional meeting, and he tells the men of the city, "This is what we need to do. These are good men. They'll come in. They'll bring their wealth. We have our wealth." And so they went along with the plan. They're circumcised. And on the third day, when the effect of the circumcision was at its peak, and they were unable to get up and fight, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, came into the city. We read that they slew all the males. They killed Hamor and Shechem, and they took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and they spoiled the city. If you look there in chapter 34, you get the detail of what it means when it says they spoiled the city. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses, that which was in the city, that which was in the field. They took all of their wealth and all of their little ones and their wives and took them captive, and they spoiled even all that was in the city and houses. And we get an idea of Jacob's spiritual condition in verse 30 of chapter 34. Look at verse 30. "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house.'" 8 times in this one verse, Jacob tells us where his heart is. He refers to me and I and my. That's Luz, isn't it? Self-willed. Self-occupied. No concern for the reproach that this act might bring upon the name of the Lord. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had a testimony for God. But there's no concern here with Jacob of what this might, the impact that this might have and bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. No concern for the deceit of his sons. No concern for the cruelty of his sons. No, the only concern that Jacob has is for me. For my. Again, we don't see the name Luz here, but this is where Jacob is. And in the midst of his self-pity and in the midst of his self-will and in the midst of his rebellion, the Lord speaks to him. Isn't that just like the Lord? He's not going to leave his children off in the mud hole. He's not going to leave you there. He's going to work and speak and draw you to get you to come out. He just is not going to leave you there. At least he's not going to leave you there comfortable. If you stay there, it'll be because of your own hardness and rebellion. But he wants to bring Jacob out. And there's a place he wants Jacob to come. Look at chapter 35 and verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God. God calls Jacob to Bethel. He calls him to the first place where the Lord appeared to him. He calls him to the place where Jacob met him. And if you think about this in terms of what we find in the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation, you've left your first love. God's calling Jacob back to first love here, the first place. Place where the Lord appeared to him, the place where Jacob met him. The place that Jacob called Bethel. And the Lord tells Jacob that when he gets to Bethel, he's to build an altar unto God. An altar is a place of death. And that was the need in Jacob's life, to die. It's the need in our life if we know the Lord tonight. If any man will come after me, the Lord Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is the death that Jacob needed to die. It's the death that we need to die daily. And so we see in verse 3 that Jacob says, let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God. That sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds spiritual. But folks, the only way to get to Bethel is to go to Luz and put the old nature to death. It's the only way to get there. Look at verse 6. So Jacob came to Bethel. No. That's the problem that we were talking about Sunday night. Sunday night we were talking about it in regard to lost people. But it's true of saved people. Listen, you can get people to come to Bethel anytime. Coming to Bethel's easy. You can get people to come to the house of God. You can get people to come there and make a fair show in the flesh. You can get people to come to the house of God and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and go through the motions of surrendering to the Lord. But that's not what's needed in the lives of God's people. What's needed in my life and in your life as believers is to do what Jacob did. So Jacob came to Luz. The wording in this verse is so critical. Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel. It's such a blessing. And it's such an incredible teaching tool that the Lord has used by hooking these two cities together. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. The Lord told Jacob in verse 1, arise, go to Bethel. So why does the Spirit of God keep bringing up Luz? Why does he tell us that Jacob went to Luz? Because we will never get to Bethel until we first go to Luz. The life of the Lord Jesus will never be made manifest in this house of God until we first go to Luz and put this hard and wicked and depraved and rebellious and self-willed nature to death. There's something very interesting here. But more than being interesting, it's instructive. And it's how in the life of Abraham We just saw it in Genesis chapter 12, in Genesis chapter 13. And here in the life of Jacob, when we see Bethel and Luz, and when we see these men dealing with Luz, what is it that we find? An altar. An altar. Look at verse 7. And he built there an altar. We said a minute ago that the life of the Lord Jesus will never be made manifest in this house of God until we first go to Luz and put this old nature to death. And that is demonstrated for us so beautifully right here. Notice again verse 7. And he built there an altar, Jacob. Now notice these next words. And called the place El Bethel. El Bethel means God of the house of God. Isn't that what Paul is talking about in his writings? 2 Corinthians 4:10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And what that means to us is Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's Luz. That henceforth we should not serve sin. What this means to us is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, yet not Luz, but Christ liveth in me. That's Bethel. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's El Bethel. God of the house of God. The life of Jesus being made manifest in our body. That's El Bethel. That's what it means for God to be the God of the house of God. And the only way that will ever happen is for us to come to Bethel and build an altar and put Luz to death. There's a saying, and it has a number of variations that you hear from time to time. Sort of an analysis of the Bible. And it goes like this. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The first verse of Genesis chapter 35 is a prime example. Look at verse 1 again. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. The New Testament that is concealed in those words is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Brethren, Paul's writing to believers. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's the altar. The altar where Luz is put to death. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's El Bethel. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A tale of two cities, Bethel, Luz. Which one characterizes our life tonight? Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the wonders of this book. What an incredible book it is. And when we just come to passages and just come to two words like this and just barely in a few moments scratch the surface of them, we can see how we'll spend the ages of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ expounding in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We thank you for this glorious book And we pray that you would stir our hearts up not only to read it and to study it, but to live it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.